This is The Think Tank, talking about the major political, economic, and social issues of the week. With Dr. Mike O'Neill and hosted by Mike Russell. KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com. The Think Tank.
Education wars are heating up, and the focal point is in Mesa, Arizona, largest school district in the state. No accident.
All right.
And here's what's going on. Well, the school budgets are being cut, and the school district wants to do something about it. And they have a superintendent there by the name of Michael Cowan.
Okay.
And he set about trying to dredge up parents and supporters to say, listen, write your legislators, contact your legislators and let's get some of the funding put back into our schools.
For the kids!
And he did so by emails and by robocalls.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that issue later
because
it's using the facilities that they use to call parents about, you know, snow days or
snow day. Did you just say snow days?
If it snowed in Mesa, this is the mechanism that they would
use. So, all right.
Anyway, the point is it's existing facilities, but he's saying, you know, contact your legislators, we're being cut and we can't handle it.
Okay.
So far, sort of business as usual. But then what happened afterwards was really quite extraordinary and represents an unprecedented escalation in the use of dark money,
Hold on. Let's back up because you throw dark money around very liberally around here. I would like you to define dark money, please.
A pile of money that is spent by somebody whose origin you have no idea of.
Okay. Somebody with money.
Well, we know the intermediary. His name is Sean Noble, and the group is called American Encore.
American Encore. I like that. It should be American Encore for puppies and kittens.
Yes, that's pretty much it. We've talked about that name before. Anyway, he's got a pile of money from, we have no idea where, that's why it's dark. We have no idea where it came from.
Okay. It just sounds very Star Wars. And
they
very dark
entered
side.
The fray not just to support Governor Ducey's budget, but they did their own robocall attacking the superintendent. And we're not talking Diane Douglas here, the state superintendent, mm-hmm. who is a political official. Okay,
right.
A superintendent of a local school district is a hired hand, mm-hmm. hired by the school board. Okay, mm-hmm. He's not a politician. He's a professional educator.
Got it.
And basically, they did their robocalls. And basically, those robocalls said, listen, Mesa is spending way too much money on administration, and it's the superintendent's fault, basically.
Okay.
In other words, personal attack.
I'm not going to disagree.
Personal attack. I mean, I'm just trying to lay out facts at this point. Those are indisputable facts because they've got records of the call.
Sure.
And what is unprecedented about it is in the past, dark money the last couple of elections, have been used in political campaigns. Mm-hmm. Pro Doug Ducey, against his opponents, a little less on the other side. But anyway, for and against various people that are politicians running for office.
Okay.
This money is being directed at a educator, a local superintendent of the Mesa schools. That is, you know, that's an escalation and that's a change in the rules of the game. Because up to this point, most dark money is in elections. Occasionally, you've seen entities were trying to bypass the rules. They weren't allowed to spend back a couple of years ago before mm-hmm. the caps got lifted. We had this situation where you weren't allowed to do election stuff or it would count against your expenditures. So they would do public education stuff like call Senator McCain and all this bad stuff has happened and tell him to vote right on this.
Right.
In other words, it's really an attack ad on him. And they're not saying don't vote for him. They're saying, tell him to vote this way or tell him to stop, you know, beating up on warm puppies or what have you. And they got around the puppy requirement beating. that not be counted as election by not explicitly advocating to vote for or against somebody.
Sure. Correct.
So
okay.
So that is the prelude to this. This is a pretty big change. If this is the wave of the future in our politics, it means that the campaigns and somebody gets elected, and there is this entity around that can I think, deliver punishment. I think this was a shot across the bow. It says, you oppose this governor. You advocate by advocating for more education funding than he has supported, and somebody's going to punish you.
Okay. You can take it as because it's dark money. So it sounds like somebody's going to be punished. I don't know about punished. Now, hold on. If I were, and I'm not, I'm a West Valley guy, so Mesa, it's like I believe it's somewhere east of Phoenix. I don't know. It's far away from my town.
Third largest city in the state, soon to be second.
I understand that. here's my deal with this whole thing. Taxpayer money being spent by the superintendent to do robocalls supporting his agenda versus somebody with a pile of their own money. Don't matter. I don't care where it came from. Their own money. It's not taxpayer money and time and effort and using a system that is funded by the taxpayers. I have absolutely no problem with that. If I am dealing in that district with a superintendent that is using that type of platform with taxpayer funded platform for his own agenda, guess what I'm going to do? If I've got a pile of my own money, Mike Russell for puppies and goodness, great. I am going to do the same darn thing. I have no problem with it. None.
Well,
the Supreme Court didn't have a problem with it.
I'm not going to take you directly on the first point because to me it's a gray area. It's a gray. I absolutely understand the point. The flip side of it is, here's a guy who's, let's assume he's been put in charge of educating the kids in Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
And if he looks at the budget he has and he determines that it is inadequate to the purpose,
right,
you would like him to be able to say so.
He has a platform to say so, not the one to say, hey, there was a shutdown in school because somebody saw some shady character. Parents should be notified. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't need to be using that for his own agenda. Absolutely not.
It's hard to argue because I'm conflicted on that point.
Sure.
I think he's saying we're inadequately funded and we can't do a decent job unless we have more resources. And this is the sort of thing, by the way, that schools do all the time when they have to go out for overrides and bonds and things like that. They communicate to people and they're not supposed to get involved in politics.
Let's get an inside view on this, right? Let's get Terry Goddard on the horn. Can we do that? Can we get Terry Goddard on the horn? Let's make that happen. That's going to come up next. We're going to speak to him about this, get a really deep insight.
And a legal answer to your question about the legality of it as well. He's
Attorney General. Oh, I like it. Bring on Terry Goddard next on The Think Tank.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
Okay, in our last segment, we got into an interesting discussion, among other things. Mike asked a very good question about what is the legality of the superintendent of schools in Mesa using a district school system robocall system in order to contact parents and basically urge them to contact their legislators to increase funding for the schools?
We need a pro.
And we have with us Terry Goddard, former attorney general.
So, he is.
is there an answer to that question?
I think so. Schools send home notices with children. Mine brings home a letter about once a week from school administration, usually about administrative matters. But this is a critical function of the school's budget, and I think the superintendent is within his rights to use another communication facility. In other words, he doesn't send home a Xerox notice. He's using a robocall, but it needs to be disclaimed. It needs to say where it's coming from. It needs to be part of the school budget. And so it's a totally disclosed, of honest and above board effort. It's not political in that it's not saying vote for this legislator or vote against that one. It's simply saying to the parents, we've got a serious issue here. If you choose, you can pay attention to it. So although it wouldn't have been my best choice, I don't think robocalls are effective, but I think it's within his notification rights as a public official who is concerned about the viability of his school budget. I think that I read the email that came from the superintendent. I thought it was extremely dispassionate and well positioned. So, in the political arena, you have pros and cons, and he's expressing his view on behalf of the budget of the district. So my caveat, and this gets right into the whole question of dark money in this area, is that it needs to be fully disclosed. It can't be a sneak attack. It can't be something that just suddenly pops up on your home phone answering system.
Well, to a parent, that's what that is. If we get one of the robocalls from the schools, it's usually about some sort of a lockdown or a kid was missing on a bus, things like that. That's what we receive, at least in the East Valley. I mean, the West Valley. Now,
right.
I understand that we do get the letters, you know, of what's going on. But I don't know, and I apologize. I didn't hear the recording in advance. Did that disclose that this was? Did they have proper disclosures to it?
I haven't heard whether it did or not. No, I'm sorry. I don't know. But I would certainly advise the school district, if it were me, to have a full disclosure. This is how it was paid for. I think that's important for taxpayers to know.
And I agree.
And frankly, I think it's important for any advertising communication, and I include robocalls in that category, to have full and frank and complete disclosure. And frankly, we're up against an attack on the superintendent, which was a robocall that did not have any of those things.
Well, I strongly suspect that there was decent disclosure because he was attacked for doing the robocall at all, and nobody raised the issue of disclosure.
Yeah.
I think the issue that was raised is you are using school facilities to do something that the other side characterized as a political communication.
Okay. Well, this.
Okay. So, education often is on the borderlines of politics, and frankly, I have a hard time seeing the difference between that and sending a Xeroxed flyer home with your child.
Because that's something that's usually expected. I'm not worried about what costs more than the other. That's expected. That comes all the time. We read through it, check things out.
Xerox flyer.
We might roll our eyes. We might not. We might get involved. Who knows what we're going to do, but we expect that to come. When it's a robocall, it has the campaign feel to it. It has that electoral feel to it. And my main issue wasn't with legality so much as it was, okay, well, if he fired the first shot with a robocall, here's a guy, call it dark money or not. What was the guy's name for puppies and kittens?
The dark money, yeah, Sean Noble.
Okay, so Sean Noble. Sean Noble's got a pile of cash. He said, well, I'm going to go right back at him with it. I'm going to do my own robocalls. I don't see I don't really see the bad in that, the evil in that, so to speak.
Terry, that's your bailiwick.
The evil in not telling who's really paying for the ad?
Yep.
In
dark money.
We can get into dark money all day. I'm just talking about the guy saw in Mesa. He saw a shot go out from the superintendent. He's like, I have the funding to combat that robocall. I'm going to do the same thing. And if it comes from and if it's disclosed that it's from the Center for All Things Good and Nice, then there's your disclosure.
It isn't. I mean,
why
come
is that
on.
Not?
That's blatantly offensive. All things good and nice is a phony. That's something that's been put up as a legal obscurity. I've been basically trying to hide who really is writing the check.
And American Encore, right?
Who's really writing the check doesn't want you to know that they're coming in and attacking the budget of your public schools.
Is that illegal?
It's not illegal in Arizona. No, absolutely not. And that's something I'm trying to fix. I'm working very hard with the legislature now to see if they will provide, as other states have, a complete financial disclosure of anybody involved in a political communication, whatever side they're on. I think we need to know who the original person writing the check, or corporation.
I'm glad to hear you say that, whatever side. I'm glad to hear you say that. I really am. Because usually when people, if you poll 100 people and say, where does dark money come from, 90% of them are going to say Republicans. Because Republicans have seemed to be latched on to this dark money, or it was latched on to them, when I would say just as much comes from the other side. So I'm excited to hear you say that both sides are doing this.
No, dark money is an equal opportunity attacker.
Yeah.
Republicans as well as Democrats got hammered by it in the last election. And I think any solution has to be absolutely dispassionate. You have to say anybody, who participates in the political process, and that might mean pays for an ad or does anything like a robocall to influence your opinion and ultimately your vote, needs to be absolutely candid about where that money comes from. And unfortunately, ever since 2010, when the Citizens United case at the Supreme Court opened the floodgates for new corporate money in the political system, an awful lot of that corporate money, especially in Arizona, has come without disclaimers, without any knowledge and any ability for us as voters to know who it is that's really writing the check. We get, you know, Citizens for Goodness and Light, Citizens for All Things Wonderful, for warm puppies and warm milk.
Well, let's take one of these, Terry. American Encore. Where do we, what do American we know Encore. About where their money came from?
Well, frankly, there's a ProPublica article that came out about the 2012 election that talks about American Encore, and it talks about another group called Citizens, I believe it's Citizens for Patient Rights. Both of them are basically controlled by a guy named Sean Noble, an Arizonan, who has been able to move a very, very large amount, I mean tens, actually hundreds of millions of dollars, through those accounts to contribute to and to buy ads in campaigns all across the country. In Arizona, of course, but also in many other states. I believe the number in the 2012 election was $130 million that went through Mr. Noble's accounts, usually in these very feel-good names, but names which tell you absolutely nothing about where the money originally came from. And he has been a good soldier.
Okay.
He's basically refused to tell anybody who asked who the money originated with.
Mr. Gutter, we're up against a hard break. Real quick, I want to come back, and I want to get a little deeper into that so everyone understands exactly what the reporting requirements are, if any. We're going to get to that with Terry Goddard next on The Think Tank.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
We are speaking with Terry Goddard. We're talking about dark money, and I wanted to ask you, sir, that a lot of people don't understand dark money because it's just been labeled as such, and it seems like an evil thing because it's called dark, so everybody just assumes it's bad, and they move forward. Let's go to Citizens for Puppies and Kittens, and let me ask, are these groups set up as profits, for-profit, non-profit? Is there any type of disclosure these organizations have? Meaning, if I'm a citizen that's mad about this type of thing and this dark money, we need to get away with it, can I actually do some research and find out where that money came from?
No, you can't.
Okay.
Right now, and this is something that will change, I'm sure, because right now the many very big corporate contributors want to remain anonymous. They don't want their fingers to be on the knife if they're involved in political activity. So they have used their lawyers and constructed a very, very sophisticated network to hide themselves from the public. And they use right now nonprofit corporations called 501c4s. They're social welfare organizations. You know about lots of them, I'm sure. NRA has a C4. The Planned Parenthood has a C4. Sierra Club has a C4. They're technically supposed to provide information to the public, but not political activity. However, the IRS has allowed up to 49% of their total proceeds to go into buying ads, in other words, direct political persuasion. I think that was the first mistake, but that happened back in the 1950s, so there's not much I can do about it. But they are very elaborate.
But those were organizations that had another purpose.
Well, the Sierra Club and the NRA certainly
have another purpose. What the purpose was.
But what's happened after the Citizens United case in 2010, where the Supreme Court said that corporate money could participate in political campaigns, they couldn't before, and essentially they said corporations were people and that money was speech, so it couldn't be restricted. As soon as that happened, corporations started playing in a much bigger way with lots and lots of money in politics, and many of them didn't want to disclose who they were. So they used these 501c4s to hide their identity. And that became a growth industry in 2012. As I mentioned, one guy, Sean Noble, moved over $130 million of non-attributable cash. Could have come from the Koch brothers, could have come from George Soros, I don't know. He didn't have to disclose it. He didn't do anything illegal. Let me be very clear about that. Because although the Supreme Court said in Citizens United that there was no First Amendment right to remain secret, nonetheless, the state legislators and the United States Congress failed to step up and require disclosure. And I have no great hope, although I'm a hopeful person. I don't think the Arizona legislature is going to fix it because many of them were beneficiaries of dark money, of anonymous cash. So I think we're going to have to go to the voters of Arizona with an initiative, and I'm working on that right now. So if somebody wants to stop dark money, I hope to be able to give them a good vehicle for the 2016 election.
And you're going to propose not to eliminate it, but only to bring it out in the open, in other words?
No, not to eliminate it. I don't have that power. But to say you have to disclose, if you're going to play in politics, if you're going to be in an Arizona election campaign for or against somebody, a proposition or a candidate, you have to tell us who you really are. Not some surrogate, not some phony baloney corporation that you set up to hide your real identity, but you have to say who the original source of the money was. And I believe you have to have some teeth in that proposition. There need to be random audits, but I don't want to get too deep in the weeds. I just think the fundamental thing that makes dark money so bad is that we don't know who it is that's for or against the candidate. We just have these frankly silly names at the bottom of the ads that say it's paid for by Citizens for Goodness and Light, or that's, I'm making that name up, but it might as well be the name. And the real person or the real corporation that's behind it tries to remain a secret. And there are good reasons they want to be a secret. They're afraid if they come forward and tell us who they are, then we're going to vote the other way. So they stay a secret in order to fool the voters.
Terry Goddard, I know you're using someone else's phone. Thank you so much. And thank her, if you could, for us, for allowing you to join us via her office. We really appreciate it. We love having you on. We look forward to speaking to you again really soon.
Thank you so much. And I wish I was in Arizona. The snow in Washington right now is about 6 inches deep, and my shoes are soaking. So I can't wait to get home.
Well, come on. Well, come on back. We'd love to have you in here really soon. Best of luck to you. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Don't go back via Boston. It's worse.
Oh, good. I will stay away.
All right. And Doc, so he brings up the legality standpoint, and the fact of the matter is it's a lot like elections to me. I don't like the fact that some people hold office right now. I really despise the fact that some people hold office right now, but we elected them, period. End of story. When it comes to Citizens United, the Supreme Court, the ones that were appointed by people we elected and approved by more people that we elected. That's it. That's the final say. Here it is. They said it's okay. They said it's protected under free speech. Like it or not, here it is.
Well, I think a whole lot of people, I think it was a 5-4 decision. A whole lot of people think
most
it was
are
one
5
of,
to
one
4
of,
now.
You know, and, you know, Supreme Court has made some mistakes.
I think the last 8-0 we had was People versus Larry Flint. I mean, really.
You know, in 1854, Dred Scott said if somebody escapes slavery, you got to move them back to slavery. They were, you know, I think this decision.
That's going a little dark. That's going way dark right there. Come on. Dark money and slavery, we're talking two different things.
You know, let's go to this Mesa case. Let me hypothetical for you. Okay, we vote reelect, but what if we get $130 million spent to convince you that candidate X, Y, and Z are all sleazeballs, and then we elect them, but we elect them because we think they're sleazeballs because the airwaves were just inundated with sophisticated messages that convinced us of that. Or let's take this Mesa case, for example. Mm-hmm. How would you, Mike Russell, feel if somebody decided they didn't much like you? And they
that's
no big deal.
Right.
But if then they spend $10 billion on a television campaign saying what a lousy guy you are and all sorts of horrible things and he should lose his job and all that, that I think might strike you a little. And you could go out on the street corner and you could defend yourself, but nobody would hear.
That's an apples and oranges hypothetical. If I were to run for public office, I better darn well expect that. I better darn well expect that.
The Mesa school superintendent did not run for office.
Okay, he fired the first shot. He used a robocall to say, get involved, we need more money, which is the siren song of our education system here in the United here in the United States. We need more money, period. Always. No matter how much you throw, we need more money.
But the response wasn't, oh, no, you don't. The response is, he's not doing his job. They're spending too much money on it. In other words, the response was a personal attack.
It wasn't a personal attack. It didn't say that he kicked his dog and he should be removed from office. It was not a personal attack. He was saying he is not doing his job by focusing on robocalls and telling you to beg for more money. That's the retaliation.
retaliation
Absolutely.
Was to go after him personally.
How personally? No. How was it a personal attack?
It was a personal attack because it's, and by the way, the evidence
about
that I've seen
family,
suggests
talk about
it isn't even true, but it says they're spending spending too much on administration.
They are.
And they are
period.
Spending, below the statewide average for administration.
Okay. Well, that's not a personal attack.
By the way, do you understand what
attack.
Administration is? The school nurse, that counts as administration.
That's not a personal attack. You and I have both come to agreement
you
on
think,
this.
Do you think teachers
you
should have to clean their
agreement.
Own classrooms?
Absolutely. We've come to agreement on this. Mm-hmm. That we have a top-heavy administration school system here. I'm sorry, administratively top-heavy school system here. We need to make cuts there. You and I have come to an
agreement
on this.
There's too many school districts.
So because
you don't make that, you don't change that
overnight. Because we're disagreeing on these robocalls, I don't want to get in the weeds of we're disagreeing. And
by the way, if we consolidate districts, one of the ones unlikely to be consolidated is Mesa because it's already the largest school district in the state. In other words, they're potentially right-sized.
Good. But it's a matter of public speaking. I mean, it's a matter of speaking. It's a matter of perspective. I think they spend too much money. Yes, the administration spends too much money administratively in Mesa. Yes, period. You can't convince me any other way. Trust me, they can make cuts. This was not a personal attack. It's not a personal attack.
You know, I don't know the details to know what I do know this. They've taken a lot of cuts already. I mean, the effective
state
And they need to take more.
Well, they need to take that money and put it in the classrooms, and then we'll start talking about that. They need to take the current budget they have.
Here's what I would be happy to see somebody come in from the outside and do a detailed analysis of where the money's spent.
Love it.
Rather than just saying, well, the solution to the problem is you have to take an extra 10% out of your, quote, administrative budget and spend it in the class without even looking at where the money's going.
And I nominate Dr. Mike O'Neill. I nominate you to go line by line and make that happen. Let's stick with this. We talked about the Sierra Club, too, in our conversation with Terry Goddard. I want to talk about that in relationship with dark money next.
The Think Tank, KTAR News on 92.3 FM and KTAR.com.
I miss our debates, buddy. I do. I really do. I miss our debates. They're a lot of fun. Now, we're talking about dark money. We're talking about everything going on in the Mesa School District. Robocall versus robocall. Taxpayer dollars versus dark money. It's just it has all the makings of a really good miniseries.
Can we go to the question of this money that's spent to say, you know, to attack the Mesa School Superintendent who said we need more money?
Attacking his job, not him personally.
The way he's doing his job.
Fine, good. To me, that's not a personal attack.
I look at who has an interest in doing that. Let's suppose, for example, that you run a very profitable private prison.
Right.
Maybe you would like to curtail, because right now this debate is being poised as do we put our money in education or do we put it in prison? So maybe there's an economic interest.
And we know there's a lot of gray between there. It's not, I have a dollar. Do I put it in this one or this one? We know that's not the case, but that's how it's being positioned to the public.
But if I'm making tens of millions of dollars running private prisons in the state of Arizona, I have an interest in somebody not cutting into the amount
of
money.
Darn Skippy, right.
Number two item, that entity that might have an interest in this. I'm running a charter school system. And by the way, those can be real money maker. By the way,
huge.
You realize what you do. The charter schools are set up as nonprofits.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know how.
We need to say this. They're supposedly a nonprofit, but the guy who owns it can salary himself for a whole lot of money.
Heck
Number
yeah.
two.
Most nonprofits
many
can.
Many of them contract out more than 50% of their budget to an outside profit-making entity, often owned by the same people.
Makes sense.
So,
most 501c3s do that exact thing, by the way. You see, I said most. I could rattle off 10 right off the bat, and you know every single one of them. They run commercials and the like. Trust me, I can nail all of them.
I have one colleague, a former school principal, who looked at the economics of these charter schools. He says most of them are real estate scams.
I wouldn't trust me.
You take your money, you siphon it to another group that's providing your real estate.
I understand this. Trust me, I get you.
The point is, those are, you want to know what the money, when there's big money behind something, usually look to somebody who has money to be made by being on the other side of an issue.
Let's stay there then. Those that have the money, it's the golden rule. He who has the gold makes the rules. It's just as sad as it is. Life isn't fair. I get it. I tell my kids every day, life isn't fair. Deal with it. Suck it up, buttercup. Life
usually
is run by money.
The people who say that are usually the people who are doing well.
Oh, no.
You know who that...
That life isn't fair?
You know who made that statement first?
Who?
That was John F. Kennedy.
Right on.
Born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Exactly. You know? And John F. Kennedy, by the way, would probably run as a Republican in this day and age, by the way. So
I'm not sure Ronald Reagan could run as a Republican.
I'm going to give you that. Let's get to that, though. Let's get to that. We understand this. Hillary Clinton's running around giving 15-minute speeches for $500,000. Mm-hmm. We know that this is how the game works as it's set. Both Republicans and Democrats, the game is set this way. Corporations give money that have a vested interest in that person being elected, so they get the kickbacks. Yep. Unions, by the way, have been the biggest funder of the Democrat Party for how many decades now?
Yep.
Okay. And then they, by the way, get union-only contracts passed by administrations, and that money goes back. It's a taxpayer-funded circle.
Bill Maher described it once. He said the Democratic Party is owned by a slightly less scary group of special interests.
Okay, there we go. And I would agree with that. I don't usually agree with Bill, but I'm going to definitely go with him on that. Is going after one group or the next, because they're just going to pop up. So let's say Mr. Goddard's legislation that he's proposing, let's say it passes. What's going to happen? We're going to find a way around it.
Every time. Yep. Absolutely. They've done it.
And
every time
successfully.
So far. There's sometimes an interim period where we have somewhat better government until. But, you know, here's the thing about if he does it as an initiative, he's a pretty good lawyer. If they write a really tight initiative,
okay,
not something that goes through the legislature, because they'll compromise that out to the point where it's only a shell.
Sure.
You know, initiatives can be far more powerful because the people who want to do something get to write something that will do what they want to do.
Correct.
Not have to compromise it down to insignificant. So
sure.
An initiative can be written in a way that's no compromise.
Right.
And have a chance. And I think that would be a sort of sunshine is very popular. Nobody likes the idea of having information concealed from him. So if he's able to put that one together, it's going to be it's going to be an easy case to make.
And it would be.
Though there'll be a lot of money,
there's going to be money going against it. Sure there is.
Of all
Absolutely.
The people who would have to go out into the sunshine where they don't want to be.
You know, we mentioned the Sierra Club and a few of the NRA. Yep. And, you know, I would say the bigs out there like the NRA, we know darn well what they're for, period. End of story. We know exactly what they want.
And so they're not really the problem here.
Okay.
You know, because the NRA, you know what they advocate.
The problem, where we get into problems are other bigs like the Humane Society of the United States.
Uh-huh.
How many Humane Society of the United States puppies were adopted last year? None, because they have nothing to do with any of that. The Humane Society of Arizona has nothing to do with the Humane Society of the United States. Okay? The Humane Society of the United States is all about lobbying for gun control. That you don't know
gun control?
Absolutely. Eradicate hunting and sportsmen around the country. Do you see what I'm saying? So they're a puppy. This is the Humane Society.
But, you know, there's at least a logical connection there. Don't shoot animals.
Oh, come on.
I like animals. Don't shoot them.
I'll give you that one.
And you know who funds the NRA is not hunters and sportsmen. It's munitions manufacturers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Because that's the big money.
Have you bought a membership in the NRA? Hold on. Have you bought a membership in the NRA?
No.
Okay. It's not cheap. So I'm going to say it's not all ammunition makers, gun makers. It's not all those folks. It's not all of them. Because trust me, it ain't. You got to write that check every year. But it's a big check.
Then again, you're emotionally connected. You hunt. But your stake in that is not as big as if you are Colt or Remington.
Oh, Colt. I thought you said if I'm cold. I'm like, I'm a little chilly.
People who manufacture guns who are making hundreds of millions have a much bigger stake in
the right to bear arms.
The right to bear arms than an individual does.
Yeah. And they found, instead of hiring their own lobbyists, they found a lobbying group that is just wide open and transparent with what they're all about and said,
and
we're going to give you the
dough. And they have exercised power largely by letting it be known. And that's what's similar to this Mesa case. Not just they're going to support their friends. But if you cross them, they go after you.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And it's the other way around, too. It's the other way around. It's the same on both sides. Would you agree to that, though?
I'm not sure there's anybody. If you look at the juxtapose two facts. One is the widespread support for more gun control in this country, and two, the complete absence thereof. It tells you that the NRA is one powerful group.
Did you say the widespread the widespread support of gun control
Absolutely.
In this country?
Absolutely.
I would challenge
Clear
you on
majorities.
That. Can we do
but
can
it's
we do,
going nowhere.
Can we do next week's show on that? Can we do next week's show on that? Can we have a section of next week's show on that? I would love to debate that fact with you. I would love to debate that fact.
I mean, I've read polls on that.
But it's sort of a silly argument
in that the second part of my sentence is, and those are going nowhere.
Yeah, who's going nowhere?
Gun control.
All right,
I mean, that's the power of the NRA. It's not going to happen.
It's the power of the American people, too, by the way, because you look at Colorado. Colorado, they got rid of elected politicians and elected officials, recalled them for supporting gun control measures. Boom. Yeah, like that.
You think that just happened spontaneously? Don't think it was millions of dollars of dark money grabbing that one up?
You think in the protests yesterday at the Capitol building just happened? Grassroots.
Nope. There's no such thing as grassroots.
Thank you. Good. See, we're coming to an agreement.
When you get a million, angry emails, somebody sent out 100 million emails requesting.
Right. Speaking of that protest, by the way, that protest just had me boiling. It does. Don't schlep your kids out there as props. These poor kids. Did you see the pictures of this protest? And these kids that I'm talking about the video footage. These kids look like they were looking around for a playground. They saw some grass area. Like, come on, can we just go play tag over there? Stop dragging us into your political nonsense.
Yeah,
I'm not a fan. I don't like props. Don't use my kids as props. Seriously, you're with that?
Yeah.
Come with me on that.
This is the nature. Any political campaign always, treks out whatever the appropriate.
I'm glad you said that because going back to what we originally spoke of, this is just how it's done. Mm-hmm. Whether you like it or not, money is how politics works.
Sadly, yes.
Thank you. And then they said there's two things you never want to see made. What are? Sausage in the law, right?
Yep.
Because it's ugly. It's not pretty. It's not something that everybody, look at our elected officials. They're just great public servants. No, it is ugly. They're in the trenches doing things that they don't want us to see,
but they hope it all works out. Taking money in the back door, which is the sad part.
Well, yeah.
Because a lot of those legislation is purchased.
Okay. Tell me when that started then.
Way back, but it's been that way for days. But it has escalated to levels that we have never seen before.
Okay, and something? I only see it going bigger. When you're talking about it, it's going to take $1 billion in 2016 to get elected president. It's only going to be $2 billion soon enough.
I'm more concerned about the Senate, the House, and the legislatures because those can be. I mean, I think the last election shows the presidency is too big to be bought.
All right, well there we have it. That's a good job. I like that. On behalf of Dr. Mike O'Neill and Mike Russell, thanks for spending some time with us in the think tank.